The reading today is taken from 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 1 to 21. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not gone out yet, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." But Eli said, "I did not call you. Go back and lie down." So he went and lay down. Again the Lord called, "Samuel." And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." "My son," Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel a third time, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there, calling as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." And the Lord said to Samuel, "See, I am about to do something in Israel that will make the ears of everyone who hears it tingle. At that time, I will carry out against Eli everything I spoke against his family, from beginning to end. For I told him that I would judge his family forever because of the sin he knew about. His sons made themselves contemptible, and he failed to restrain them. Therefore, I swore to the house of Eli, the guilt of Eli's house will never be atoned for by sacrifice or offering." Samuel lay down until morning and then opened the doors of the house of the Lord. He was afraid to tell Eli the vision. But Eli called him and said, "Samuel, my son." Samuel answered, "Here I am." "What was it he said to you?" Eli asked. "Do not hide it from me. May God deal with you, be it ever so severely, if you hide from me anything he told you." So Samuel told him everything, hiding nothing from him. Then Eli said, "He is the Lord. Let him do what is good in his eyes." The Lord was with Samuel as he grew up, and he let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, recognized that Samuel was attested as a prophet of the Lord. The Lord continued to appear to Shiloh, and there he revealed himself to Samuel through his word. And Samuel's word came to all Israel.
Well, I'm sure we've all had this experience. The writer Charles Swindoll once found himself with too many commitments in too few days. He got nervous and tense about it. "I was snapping at my wife and our children, choking down my food at mealtimes, and feeling irritated at those unexpected interruptions through the day. I'd never be like that. Before long, things around our home started reflecting the patter of my hurry-up style. It was becoming unbearable. I distinctly remember after supper one evening the words of our younger daughter, Colleen. She wanted to tell me something important that had happened to her at school that day. She began hurriedly, "Daddy, I want to tell you something, and I'll tell you really fast." Suddenly, realizing her frustration, I answered, "Honey, you can tell me, and you don't have to tell me really fast. Say it slowly." I'll never forget her answer, "Then listen slowly." Are you good at listening slowly to everyone, but especially to God's word? It's our very great privilege to have the Word of God in our hands, on our iPods, in the car, obviously in church. But it doesn't follow that because we have access to God's Word, that we are actually listening to God's Word. Jesus quoted the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 6. These people will be ever hearing, but never understanding. Be ever seeing, but never perceiving. Make their ears dull and close their eyes. Actually, this is what we're all like without Jesus. Unless we know Jesus, unless the Holy Spirit is working in us, we cannot hear God's voice. The Bible is a closed book to us. It is foundational that we come to Jesus, we ask him to be our Savior and our King, and we ask him to open our ears and to open our eyes so that we can develop a relationship with God through his Word. The tragedy is that some Christians have known this experience of being woken up spiritually, given spiritual ears, given spiritual eyes, and then we don't even read the Bible. We're not hungry for God's Word. We don't want to hear sermons. We don't want to grow in our relationship with God. In 1 Samuel 3, there is a famine of the Word of God. Verse 1, the boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the Word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. This was a low point in Israel. God's people were far from him. When Samuel's mother, Hannah, prays fervently in the tabernacle for a son, Eli, the old priest, assumes she must be drunk. He's used to seeing drunkenness. He's not used to seeing fervent prayer. Well, that's rather like Britain today, isn't it? Eli's sons, who are also priests, are sexual abusers. They exploit the women who work for them. This is the situation in Israel. And into this context, God gives a new prophet, little Samuel. God uses a young boy to end the famine of the Word of God, to restore the centrality of his Word in Israel. Who will God use to restore the centrality of his Word in Britain? Well, if he used a young boy, Samuel, he can use you. So that's where we're going this morning. Two headings: God provides his Word, and God honors his Word. And those headings are on your notice sheets. Firstly, God provides his Word, verses 2 to 18. Now, can you picture the scene? We've had very helpful pictures on the PowerPoint this morning. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. Eli is an old man in bed. Verse 3, the lamp of God had not yet gone out. If you want to know about the lamp of God and the furniture in the tabernacle, listen to Bernard's talks on the tabernacle on our website. The fact that the lamp had not gone out suggests it was very early in the morning, the lamp would be lit at bedtime and would go out by morning. Just in passing, I do think the early morning is a very good time to hear God's voice. That's when many of us get the most out of our Bibles. And I think that's because our minds are not cluttered with the things of the day. Samuel was lying down in the temple or tabernacle of the Lord, where the Ark of God was. I expect you've seen Raiders of the Lost Ark. The Ark contained the Ten Commandments and symbolized the presence of God. And Samuel is allowed to sleep near it. He has a special place in God's purposes. Verse 4, then the Lord called Samuel. God is providing a prophet. A prophet who will restore the word of God to Israel. Samuel hears his name being called. Here I am, he says. And verse 5, he ran to Eli and said, here I am, you called me. He obviously assumes that Eli called him. Well, you would, wouldn't you? If you heard a voice in the middle of the night, I'd think it was Becca, if it happened to me. So that's what Samuel thinks. Must be Eli. But Eli said, I did not call. Go back and lie down. So he went and lay down. And this happens again in verse 6. Verse 7 explains, Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. So that's why he doesn't know it's God's voice. He doesn't know God. He's not in a relationship with God. That's why he thinks it's Eli. Now note this verse. You come to know God when God graciously reveals his word to you. When God does it. I cannot make anyone a Christian. All I can do is teach God's word on a Sunday, in home group, when I chat to people one-to-one. I can do nothing except pray. And everything depends on God. God, the Holy Spirit, must open people's spiritual ears, open people's spiritual eyes, reveal the word of God to them, and therefore, through his word, reveal himself to them. See, you only know me through what I say to you, what I reveal to you in my speech, and that's how it is with God. That's how it is with Becca. We sit down, have lunch together on a Friday, because it's about the only lunchtime we can get together, and we talk, and we get to know each other again. Through what we say. This is how it is with God. We get to know him through his word. And this is what God does here. Verse 8. The Lord called Samuel a third time. Again, he assumes it must be Eli. But this time, Eli realizes it is God speaking. He tells Samuel to go back to bed. And to say to God, if he calls again, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. This is, of course, what every one of us should say. Every morning, when we have our quiet time, and I hope we do read the Bible every day. I read it morning and night, because I realize, I really understand, I need God's word. I need to hear God. I cannot do the things I need to do if I do not hear God in his word. Man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, said Jesus. We need the Bible more than we need our food. Physical food will keep you going physically. Only the spiritual food of the Bible will bring you to eternal life in heaven. We need the Bible more than we need our food. So every one of us needs to sit down and say, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." You will not grow as a Christian until you make this your habit. Well, God does indeed speak to Samuel in this way. At verse 11, it's not a warm and fuzzy word. It's a word of judgment. Often, the first word God speaks is a word of judgment. Often, before he can say comforting things to us, he needs to say, "You're a sinner. You've rebelled against me. You are worthy of hell. You need to repent." Here is a word of judgment, verse 11. "See, I am about to do something in Israel that will make the ears of everyone who hears it tingle. At that time I will carry out against Eli everything I spoke against his family from beginning to end. For I told him that I would judge his house forever because of the sin he knew about. His sons made themselves contemptible, for he failed to restrain them. Therefore I swore to the house of Eli, the guilt of Eli's house will never be atoned for by sacrifice or offering." Was there ever a stronger word of judgment? "Eli, you and your sons are under God's wrath. You, because you failed to stop them. They, because of their overt sin. And consequently, there is no atonement for their sin. The blood of Christ only atones for believers. Those who reject Christ pay for their own sin in hell. Now I can tell you, I do not like talking about hell and God's judgment. I wish to be known as a nice person. I've taken painful criticism for passing on what the Bible teaches about hell and judgment. If preachers like talking about hell, I think there's something wrong. In Wales, people weep in the pulpit and in the prayer meeting because of the reality of hell. That's the right attitude. Nobody wants to say, "Your sin has earned you hell." But the very first message this young prophet, very young prophet, must deliver to is to tell his senior colleague that there can be no atonement for his sin. No atonement. He and his family are lost. Now, you wouldn't want to be Eli, would you? That is why you must come to Christ to have your sin atoned for. But you wouldn't want to be Samuel. You wouldn't want to have to say this. Well, how will Samuel react? Verse 15, he lies in bed. I bet he didn't sleep a wink afterwards. He gets up, he opens the doors, says he was afraid to tell Eli the vision. I bet he was. But verse 16, Eli wants to hear God's word. Now, was Eli a believer? We've just been told there can be no atonement for his sin. And yet, he has a hunger for God's word. Was it only the Old Testament sacrifices that could not atone? I'm afraid we'll have to leave Eli's eternal destiny with God. Verse 17, he wants to know what God says. That's the sign of a believer. That's what I'm looking for in Christians. That's what I'm looking for in myself. Do not hide it from me. He knew what was coming, didn't he? God had already told him in the previous chapter. So verse 18, Samuel told him everything, hiding nothing. The word of God is faithfully delivered, faithfully taught, faithfully preached. Here is our example. I must teach you exactly what the word of God says. I must hide nothing from you. You must be exactly the same in home group, in your personal evangelism. And then notice, Eli submits to God's word. Verse 18b. He says, he is the Lord. Let him do what is good in his eyes. This is an example worth emulating. Think of the hard truths, the stuff we don't like in the Bible, say, predestination, or male headship, or the Bible's teaching on homosexuality. On lots of issues, we might think we know better than the Bible. But the right attitude is Eli's. He is the Lord. Let him do what is good in his eyes. I'm not the Lord. I must submit to God, whether I like the teaching or not. God provides his word. Secondly, God honors his word. Verse 19 and following. The Lord was with Samuel as he grew up. Isn't that what you want for your children? The Lord was with Samuel as he grew up. If that's what you want, then teach them God's word. Now, don't rely on the church to do this for you. You must read the Bible to them. Do you read the Bible at a mealtime? Ideally, breakfast, I would say. But that's not possible for everyone. Do you pray together? As a family, these things are priorities for any Christian family. Any Christian family that wants their children to grow up knowing God. God honours his word, you see. He honours young Samuel. And Samuel grows in his ministry. Now look at this. God let none of his words fall to the ground. That's success if you're a preacher. God let none of his words fall to the ground. It's like Isaiah 55, 10 and 11. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. God's word accomplishes God's purpose. Not sometimes, always. God's word accomplishes God's purpose. And it might be God's purpose for that word to be a word of salvation, to save someone. Or it might be God's purpose for that word to be a word of judgment. Because God's word divides. So sometimes we're called to be like Noah, prophets of judgment. But always, God's word accomplishes God's purpose. His will is fulfilled. And this was Samuel's experience. When he spoke, people got converted and transformed. Not a word fell to the ground. Pray this for me. And pray it for yourselves. Verse 20, everyone knows this is God's word. Now Israel is becoming more of a political entity. All Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, recognized that Samuel was attested as a prophet of the Lord. So Israel is becoming a community gathered around God's word. They recognize Samuel is their prophet. And this is a picture of the church in the New Testament. A community gathered around God's word, just as we are now. And once again, verse 21, God was revealing himself through his word. He did it then. He does it now. He reveals himself through his word. Well, how does this apply to us? Number one, is there a famine of the word of God in your life? Yes, you own a copy of the Bible, but do you read it? Do you read it every day? Do you use Bible reading notes? We can help you get started with that. I think probably Hazel would even get you some from the shop if you asked her to. Do you read it prayerfully? Do I read it prayerfully? Do you read it slowly? It's no good just having a quick squint and slamming it shut again. Are you saying to God, speak, Lord, your servant is listening? Secondly, God provides his word. God has given our generation able Bible teachers, but we need to be praying for our nation. There is much to be encouraged about. There is much good teaching. I was down at the Cornhill preaching course on Wednesday, where Hector is a student and on placement with us. Cornhill and the Proclamation Trust have made a huge contribution to Bible teaching in Britain. At the same time, there is much dross. There is much ignorance of God's word, even in the churches. Will you pray for a provision of the Word of God in all its power? Pray for a spiritual revival, an awakening in our land again. Pray that the Word of God will be faithfully delivered, even when the subject matter is judgment. And thirdly, God honors his word. He honors his servants by his grace, even though, Jesus said, we are at best unworthy, unprofitable servants. And by his grace, God gives spiritual fruit. People become Christians when the word of God is taught. People grow as Christians. Pray for this. Will you pray for this? Two absolutely crucial things you can do in response to God's word. Open it up, read it, eat it, devour it. Take it to your heart. Memorize it. Take it into the battle. When Satan tempts you, answer him with the word of God. If Jesus needed to do that, we need to do it. Let's be a Bible-reading people. And let's be a praying people. Because so many people, I could take you to Cambridge dons who know chapter and verse of the Word of God, but it has not changed their hearts. That only happens when God's people are on their knees praying for spiritual awakening. So a good place to start would be the prayer meeting tomorrow night. It was very well attended last month. It'd be great to see the place packed out again.